public speakers that are wanting to speak today. And the first person I'm going to call is our former board member and former mayor of Edwardsville, Mr. Hal Patton. Hal, take your time. If you fall down the steps, we're going to laugh at you, then worry about it. But
thank you very much.
You've got the floor, sir.
Good morning. It's nice to be back. I spent about 10 years on this committee, and it's been about 9 years since I've been back to speak with all of you. It was a good run over at the city of Edwardsville. What I'm here today to speak with you about is an incident that took place back on December 6th. As a business owner, a building owner in Edwardsville area, I have two renters that rent from me. One is a hot yoga studio, and the other is a tree remover business, Arbor Management. We are in a little bit of a donut hole in the city of Edwardsville area, so I'm actually a county resident, so if we have an incident at our building, which is just down the hill past RP Lumber, the reason that we're not annexed is we are property associated with Richards Brick. Richards Brick had a very large acreage and that connected outside the city, so they stayed unannexed. But in late November, like any good business owner, I had a discussion with my tenants. I said, guys, make sure you're locking up, make sure you're keeping the alarm set. This is a time of year where, you know, a lot of petty theft can occur and break-ins can occur because people are looking stuff for Christmas. And they said, great, yep, we understand, we'll double down on that. Unfortunately, on the night of December 6th, it's a Monday night, the hot yoga studio was in session, and they had about 25 clients there doing yoga. And I have cameras on the building, I have cameras in the building in the warehouse area, but the front cameras saw a white vehicle coming in about 5:37 in the evening, just after dark, and went to each one of the vehicles to see if the doors were unlocked, if there was any stuff inside. Spent about 14 minutes in the parking lot, ultimately breaking four windows, robbing five or six individuals of some personal items that unfortunately they left in their vehicle. We all know that's a mistake, but that's unfortunate. These were young kids. They weren't expecting something like that to happen that evening, obviously. So the frustrating thing and the disappointing thing is at that point, you know, they call 911. When they call 911, it comes up as, okay, you're a county facility, so you're not City of Edwardsville. There's no immediate threat or emergency, so we're going to call the Sheriff's Department. I was finishing up work at 6 o'clock, got the call, went back home, ate dinner, got another call, still no sheriff deputy. So I went down there, you know, to find four young ladies pretty distraught. Personal items had been gone through, their windows had been broken, their cleaning glass out of the driver's seat or passenger seat just so they could get home. And it was 2 hours before the deputy arrived. Very nice young man, I mean professional. I asked him what took him so long, you know, how it's 2 hours response time, you know, reasonable in a situation like this. Just like all of you, I'm sure you analyze your tax bill. I pay $7,000 in taxes for that building, so I'd like, you know, a little bit better service than 2 hours. And he said, I'm sorry, Mr. Patton, you know, we had an emergency in Hamel, and we had something going on in Highland. There's only two of us covering this part of the county, and since this was a non-emergency, you know, we had to cover those things first. And, you know, again, what happened next is the girls are telling me when I got down there, how we see they're using my visa at the Walgreens in Edwardsville. Oh, now they're using my visa at the Walgreens in Maryville. So the crime that took place on my property because of the delayed response is now allowing crimes to occur at other parts of the county. And I think the chain of communication, had we had a decent response time, would have been able to get out and catch these perpetrators. I know you all are working hard on different crime-stopping efforts, and I applaud the state's attorney. I am as serious on crime and as supportive of law enforcement as you can get, but I seriously would like you, because I will admit that I never asked a question when I was a board member. I never asked, how many deputies do we have serving this region? What is our typical response time? How do we coordinate with other agencies? How do we communicate with other agencies? But in this particular case, you know, these perpetrators got away with thousands of dollars in merchandise, and we were fortunate that they weren't seen in the parking lot by some of the young ladies that were there. If they would have gone out there, you know, it could have been a much different situation. And since they weren't caught at this incident, you know, are they going to do it again and is that encounter going to be potentially violent or damaging? So, again, just some questions I'd like all of you to ask in private, or if it's a public discussion opportunity. I know it's never easy to add personnel. I had to add 5 police officers when I was mayor and 6 paramedics, and I know they're about $100,000 each, so it's not cheap. But as a taxpayer, I mentioned, you know, what I paid on this building, and, you know, to the credit of the board, 6 years ago, I paid $90 more in county taxes than I do today. So it's about it's been decreasing about $15 a year. I'm telling you, as a property taxpayer, I would rather forego that $15 a year and have a quicker response time than 2 hours, because it's really hard to answer those young ladies' questions. Where are they? What are we going to do about this? Are we going to catch these people? Am I going to get my stuff back? And as for me, you know, a sheriff deputy there within 15 minutes, 10 minutes, these girls showing the information, a call to the Edwardsville PD, a call to the Maryville PD, we might have caught these individuals. Following up, again, 2 extremely professional deputies. I think they were a little distraught about the situation and a little frustrated. You don't want to have that in your core either. So if you get a chance to talk with them and talk about staffing, I think it would be beneficial. And that's all I have. Thank you for your time this morning, and I certainly appreciate what all you do, because I was there for 24 years. I know these aren't easy decisions, but I will be one that respects and appreciates the elected officials, because I know what you give up, and I know the time commitment that it takes to do what you do. So thanks very much.
Thanks. Thanks, Hal. Okay. Next on the agenda, we have Deb Detmers. Be careful coming down the steps, Deb.
Mike, I've got copies of the map. Would there be something?
Yeah, that would
be
great. Can we pass those out? Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Walters and members of the committee, as many of you already know me, I'm Deb Detmers-Stansler. I'm a resident of Maryville, Illinois, and I appear before you today as a concerned resident and nothing more and nothing less, hoping that your committee and county board might help address an egregious wrong. Late in the day Wednesday, under completely partisan roll calls, the Illinois General Assembly eliminated what we in Madison and Bond counties have used to elect judges for the past 50 years. And they implemented a completely new system of 4 sub-circuits for the 3rd circuit. Now, the 4th district is Bond County, and I'm not going to really talk about that today. I'm only going to talk about the Madison County portion. This all happened in a very Springfield way, with great partisanship, no cooperation from anyone outside the legislature, only hours of notice, and it passed when most of Madison County was probably already in their pajamas. I know I was. But after 50 years of the old system, we now have sub-circuits. What is the problem? Let me provide a little bit of history. The concept of sub-circuits is not a new concept. Judges are elected from sub-circuits has existed in Cook County for decades, and the General Assembly has implemented them in other circuits, such as Will, Kane, Lake, McHenry. This new legislation adds Madison, Sangamon, Winnebago, and DuPage to this group. However, there is a problem, and there is a right way to do this, and this was not the right way. Without any input from Madison County citizens or the judiciary, the state legislature drew 3 sub-circuits from Madison County, and now all 8 of our judges will be elected from those sub-circuits, and I've provided a copy of that map to you. In dividing the 8 Madison County judges among 3 sub-circuits, you might realize 8 is not divisible by 3. So apportioning judges to the new sub-circuits, the General Assembly gave 3 judges to sub-circuit 1, 3 judges to sub-circuit 2, but only 2 judges to sub-circuit 3. Even though all 3 sub-circuits are equal in population. So in the eastern rural part of the county, places like Godfrey, Holiday Shores, Bethalto, Alhambra, Worden, Livingston, New Douglas, Grant Fork, Marine, St. Jacob, Highland, and Troy, they get less representation than the rest of the county. But I haven't even mentioned the most unfair part of this new plan. The institutional norm, which is fancy speak for the way the General Assembly has done it every other time, the sub-circuit elections have gone in numerical cascading order. So if a judge retires, he's replaced in an election in sub-circuit 1. The second judge would be in sub-circuit 2. The next happens in 3, etc. Then it goes back to 1. After doing that in every other place in downstate Illinois, this new plan in Madison County is to elect the first three vacancies in Subcircuit 1. Then the next three in Subcircuit 2, and the final two, don't forget we only have two in 3, the only two from the Subcircuit 3 last. This is so unspeakably unfair and involved. I respect the judges in this Madison County that are serving right now, and I want to stress this is not their partisanship. Chicago passed this new plan for Madison County. And I'm going to quote suburban Chicago Senate President Don Harmon about this plan. He said, certainly partisanship was a component in what was considered when evaluating the constructing of the subcircuits. He said that to the nonpartisan Center Square Media website. So instead of electing 123, 123, 12, they re-elected 111, 222, 33. According to the Illinois State Board of Elections, 15 judges have retired from Madison County over the past 12 elections. So that's basically about 1.25 judges per election. Under this trend, and considering there are only two vacancies up in 2022, the good taxpayers of the Third Subcircuit aren't going to get an opportunity to vote for the Madison County judges again until 2030. By 2030, I'm going to be in my 70s. And if the General Assembly keeps the current plan, by law, they're required to revisit this in 2031. That's certainly not a mistake. And they may not get to vote for even the second judge assigned to Subcircuit 3. So how do we solve this wrong? To start, we have to acknowledge that this is deviating from the previous numerical order, and that was an intentional act by our state legislature to stack the courts. This is a direct insult to every Madison County resident, especially in those communities I named earlier. The governor has not yet signed the bill. I know there are people in this county administration building in this courthouse who know this governor, or know people who the governor could get to him and veto this bill, so actually the voters could provide input before Chicago rewrites our judiciary. Another interesting fact on this is some of these counties are implementation in 2024. Madison County is implemented in 2022. I would like to urge this committee to continue to pursue this issue and perhaps hold a special hearing where you can hear from our legislators, experts, and voters. You could give the voters the public hearing that nobody had in Springfield. Fairness is a hallmark of our justice system, and a system electing judges that's not fair to the people of Madison County makes justice illegitimate. I thank you, Chairman, for your time, and I appreciate answering questions if anybody had any questions.
Deb, you said DuPage, Sagamon, and County. What do those three counties have in common?
They're Republican.
Oh, okay. Again, as Deb mentioned in her thing, this is not a Madison County Republican versus Democrat. This is an insult to everybody, every judge, everybody that lives here. This is a power grab. This is what's wrong with politics. When people go out and elect individuals and Springfield doesn't like it, this is what they do. I'll give you a prime example. There was a Democratic legislator, great guy, loved him. He was salt of the earth, good man. Well, he goes up, I believe it was DuPage County, where he was elected, and DuPage is heavily Republican. He had 29 board members, 26 Republican, 3 Democrats. So he would make appointments, they would get voted down. So what did the General Assembly do? They made a law that basically in counties that are of the size of DuPage, that the chairman did not have to get approval from the board for appointments. This is an egregious, horrible thing that's happening to us. I mean, we were told once again, MESD, we changed that. Why? Because they didn't like the way the people of Madison County voted. They bi-state versus Madison County, the way that people are voted onto that board from the state of Illinois were changed. It was 1 year Madison had 3, St. Clair had 2, and I don't know if it's for 2 year term or 1 year term, then St. Clair would have 3 and we would have 2. Well, they didn't like what happened in Madison County, so they go. And there is an individual that has been behind every one of these. And this person doesn't even live in Madison County. This right here, it's egregious. Chief Judge, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Did you know about this? Did they contact you and talk to you at all about this?
I issued a statement yesterday to Ann Maher of the Madison Record and Scott Cousins of the Telegraph, which basically lays out what I knew about it. It does affect two friends and colleagues of mine, Chris Threlkeld and Amy Scholler, two fine judges. If they, because their vacancies are coming up, if they want to run for those vacancies, they will have to move to this new sub-circuit one, as Ms. Detmer has just pointed out. And I am up for retention in 2022. It doesn't affect me, but it affects them, because those are vacancies created by the departures of Judges Dugan and Tognarelli. So my understanding was that the legislative liaison to the Administrative Office of the Illinois Courts was in contact with the legislature. In the past, when we have individually reached out to the legislature on bills that may affect the judiciary, we've been told by the Supreme Court, stand down, that's our responsibility. So there are several chief judges that have been in contact with me that have been in these circuits, and we've had our opinions about it, but we're ethically constrained from public comment on a legislative matter such as this. But I did issue a statement yesterday, and hopefully it'll be...
So they did not contact you?
No.
Okay, thank you. Do you know if they contacted any of the judges?
Like I said, I believe the legislative liaison to the AOIC was in contact with them. And what he or she said or did or did not do, we don't know.
Well, that's an absolute slap in the face to you as a chief judge of Madison County for you not to be at least called. That's appalling to me. And again, this is not an RD in Madison, DuPage, Sagamon. This is Chicago politics. This is absolute Chicago politics. And Judge, I as a citizen, apologize they did not contact
you. Can I ask a question, Mike? What effect does this have on the two individuals? Can we explain it in simple terms so the whole public can know exactly what's transpiring?
Well, I think Chief Judge just said we have Amy Scholler that's up, and who's the other one, Chief Judge?
Threlkeld.
They're up.
What does it require them to do?
They would have to move.
They have to go find a new house.
Move their residence
before they pass petitions.
And it's egregious. It's criminal what they're doing in the state of Illinois. As far as I'm concerned, it's criminal. I have a question to ask, if you don't mind. I'm asking Chairman Prenzler to call a special meeting of the county board to inform the entire board of the actions of the state legislation and its intrusion into the judiciary, and to pass a resolution denouncing the actions of the legislature and urging the governor not to sign this into law. And I'd ask Chairman Mike Walters if, in fact, we could have this special meeting as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Before the signs that into law.
But you want it to be of the whole board, not judiciary, the whole board, correct? So that would be, we would definitely need to, I will ask Kurt or Chairman Prenzler after this to call a special meeting. Anybody else on the board? Then I'll get to you. Yes, Jamie.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen out of Springfield. And it's not just the power grab and the judges. It's the way they substitute all the text in a bill at the last moment, and the public doesn't have any opportunity to review it, and they ram it through in the middle of the night. And shame on anyone that votes for this, and that includes Katie Stewart and Senator Crow, who are my representatives in Springfield. This is shameful what they've done, not just to the judiciary, but this whole process that's been going on since Madigan, where they substitute this stuff in the middle of the night, and the public has no way to review or comment. It's just disgraceful. It's just partisan hackery at its worst, and I'm just, it makes me embarrassed for our state. It really does.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. And if you've been around, Jamie very rarely gets upset about something. So, and I mean that as a compliment, because you don't. You're not like me. I get a little fired up and get going. But Mr. Foster.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question goes to Tom McCurdy. Tom, were you ever consulted by anybody concerning this sub-circuit, circuit matter that's before us?
No, I wasn't.
Mr. Foster, no, I was not.
Was anybody from your office ever consulted with any of this or
no.
asked to give any input or
no.
advice on how this should move
no.
forward?
No.
Thank
no.
you.
I watched the debate, the so-called debate, live. I guess it was Wednesday evening. It lasted for all of maybe 45 or 50 minutes. And they wouldn't say who they talked to. They were asked the sponsor, I believe, was Representative Hernandez, and she wasn't saying who she talked to about it. She was asked. The other thing I think that was disturbing is they were asked about a residency requirement, and she said, according to Representative Hernandez, they had to establish residency before they started circulating petitions. So that gives them all of, maybe a week and a half to find a new house. Mm-hmm. And then there wasn't even a provision as to how long, what constituted residency. And so, no, nobody asked me about it. And, they weren't saying who they talked to. And it was really, they just rammed it through on partisan lines.
That's the way it works. I don't know if anybody, but the same legislature, I think petitions go out next week. You can go get your petitions. And rather than the legislator going, hey, let's hold this off for now because of COVID, they decided, well, what they talked about doing is lowering the number of signatures they need, not county board members, not anybody. Other than themselves, they want to lower the number of petitions that they have to get signed. So that really tells you, are they out there doing the work of the people or the work for themselves? And again, this is not, I can't emphasize this enough, this is not a shot at R versus D in this county, because I think we've worked together. Chief Judge, I've worked with you for years. You and I have, a really good relationship. You listen to me. I kind of tease him a few times, and he comes back because the respect that I have. And I think I hope that he has the same respect. So it is very frustrating to watch what's going on in Madison County and how well we work together. I mean, I've worked with Gussie for 14 years and Liz for just a few under that, and I think we work well together. And then to see what they're doing up in Springfield is just an abomination, and it's horrible. And, Mr. Babcock, you had a question.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question to Judge Mudge, if you don't – Chief Judge Mudge, excuse me, Chief, and Tom McRae. Did Katie – and, again, I'm just going to ask this question one more time, and Jamie, thank you for bringing it up. Did Katie Stewart or Rochelle Crowe – ask you at any point in time for your opinion or your what you thought about the process of passing this in the legislature? I'm asking both individuals, please.
I was not consulted by anyone from the legislature on this. I, like everybody else, read media coverage that they were doing this in St. Clair County in the fall. And there were rumors that they may be considering this in the veto session, and then nothing happened, and then suddenly what happened, I guess it was Wednesday night, happened.
Okay, and I thank you, Chief Mudge. Tom?
No, I wasn't consulted.
And then the next question is, Chief Judge Mudge also mentioned there was an individual that was representing this county who made that decision. Who's that individual, Chief Judge Mudge?
Say there is an individual. All I am aware of from the administrative office of the Illinois courts is they have a legislative liaison. Who that person is, I don't know, but they are the folks that reach out to the legislature and give input. Whoever the liaison is did not contact me.
Do they represent this county, Judge?
They represent the administrative office of the Illinois courts.
So they do not represent this county.
Well, they represent all of the courts collectively when it comes to interaction with the legislature.
So just to be clear, nobody in this county was represented by their representatives or asked their opinion at any point in time by our representatives, Katie Stewart and Rochelle Crowe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any? Does anybody else have any comments on this? I think this is something that I hope we can all get together and behind this, and I'm speechless.
If I could add, Chairman,
yes.
My understanding of the reading of the bill, and I've not read it in its entirety, but you were talking about these petitions. I think the date for circulating petitions is 15 days after the governor's signature on this bill. And so that ought to give everyone an idea of how quickly two appointed judges might have to act to change their residence.
That's just that. Thanks.
And they did, I believe, reduce the number of signatures required. And I can't give you the exact numbers, but I do recall seeing a section in there that addressed the number of signatures required.
Yep. Thank you, Chief Judge. Any other comments? Thanks, Deb, for the information. This is something I think we need to get together on and do. I just can't believe it's bad they didn't contact Tom, no offense, but to not contact you is just egregious. I'm sorry. I know I get a little passionate up here, but to take away the voting rights of what the people of Madison County are doing, and to just disrespect our judges that way is appalling. Okay, let's go on. Has everybody had a chance to read the December 3rd and 13th minute meetings? Are there any changes? Hearing none, they will stand as approved. The purchase orders and bills are going around, and unless Jamie just kept them to himself, which he's been known to do. Has Mr. Babcock, did you read those to him? Because you know he's not very good at reading stuff. So, okay. So, now we're going to go ahead and go to our standing reports and child advocacy. Dang it. You would have been very impressed last 2 months. I nailed it.
Thank you.
I get a little nervous when you're here.
Things are going really well at the center. I will tell you, our staff was impacted more than we ever have the entire pandemic from COVID, so that's interesting for us right now, and we're navigating it. We finished up the year of 21 with 486 forensic interviews, which was up from 406 last year, so we're really happy about that. Numbers were really down in 2020. We served a record 282 clients through our site-based interview program, which is really incredible. So things are going really well at the center, and we're looking forward to the coming year.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Circuit Clerk.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. We're continuing to work through our traffic triage program in the traffic court. I think that's going very well. We've ironed out some of the bugs that have presented themselves. That's probably the most what we've been working on probably the last month or so. I also have to say that this morning I'm a little distracted by the actions of the Illinois legislature. Honestly, you mentioned Bi-State and MESD and things like that, and we sort of expect some of the political shenanigans that go on there. But I think if they touch the judiciary, it's a totally different story. And I don't know. The Illinois legislature, I think, has gone way too far in this. And once we politicize the judiciary, then what's left? And it's the only check and balance we have left in the state of Illinois, where people are leaving the state. We've lost congressional representation. We expect them to draw together Mary Miller and Mike Bost. We expect those types of things. They drew Amy Ellick out of her district. We sort of expect that. But I think they've gone way too far. And this is a I think it is. People, it's an overreach. It's egregious. And we really shouldn't stand for it.
Representative Davis Meyer has to move also. Davis Meyer, he represents part of Godfrey.
Yeah.
He has to move also. So that has happened. But now I'm going to allow the circuit court to speak, even though I don't know if you realize this, earlier this week we got a new associate judge, Andy Carruthers, and Judge Mudge introduced everybody in the room but the county board members. So I'm going to But then Andy mentioned me, so then I moved Judge Mudge back up to the to number three. So, Chief Judge, you're up.
Well, when you sit in the back row, that's what happens. I saw you back there. That was one of the things on my list. Is on Monday, we swore in new Judge Andrew Carruthers. He's hit the ground running, doing a fine job. He's been welcomed by the team of judges in the family division, and I just ran into him yesterday late in the afternoon, and he told me how excited he is and how wonderful the reception has been. And so that was happy news. The second thing on my list is we're still dealing with COVID. I'm getting a lot of questions from other county departments that we interact with, what we're going to do. The Supreme Court has not given us any new guidance or authority to close down courts, ramp back procedures or anything of that nature. I did notice St. Clair County continued their traffic and misdemeanor matters for about 3 weeks. So I contacted Andrew Gleason down there. He's the chief judge in St. Clair County. Asked him what caused that, and he said it was simply a lack of personnel. I think the circuit clerks that were dealing with those various dockets are decimated with COVID, so they could not operate them. I told everyone if we get any more guidance on that would give us authority to make changes, I would let them know. But right now I'm not anticipating any, but I, obviously these protocols that we have in effect that were followed during the swearing-in ceremony of masking and normally social distancing, we kind of lifted that for that event because Andrew had a lot of people coming, are going to be continued to be enforced. And then the third thing on my list was the sub-circuit thing, but Ms. Detmers addressed that, and I answered questions regarding that, so I won't bring that up again. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you, Chief.
I do have a law library here. Do you want me to address that now?
Yes, please.
That's a subscription service with Thomson Reuters. It's $6,082.41. These are normal library plan charges and subscription charges, nothing new. I think Angela Lilly is here if anybody has any specific questions regarding those expenditures.
Any questions for the Chief Judge? You went over his 3 minutes again.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. Mr. McCray, you did have three purchase requests. Do you want to go over those real quick?
Yeah, these are all basically software. It's software support for the functions within the clerk's office.
Any questions for Mr. McCray? Okay. Detention home. I'm timing you. There we go. Started. And I have an attorney here, so I'm going to start over just because I took your time.
Sure.
Now go.
Okay. You do have a resolution in front of you for our health care. That number is correct, but it's an additional kind of 2-year contract with ACM, and in the contract, they can increase their price up to 3% over the consumer price index, and that's what you're seeing there. It's already been paid. We only have to pay an additional $1,200 this year for that.
Okay.
Monthly report, our in-county average was 15, email average was 1, our mail daily average was 13, our highest daily population was 18, and I did have 2 out-of-county youth.
Okay.
And then for our yearly 21 totals, you have copies of this as well. We took 262 intake calls. Out of that, 186 of those youth were detained. 76 were released back to their parents for referral to the juvenile court. Our average daily population of males was 13, females was 3. Our average stay for males was 43 days. Our average stay for females was 37. We had a total detention day served of 8,713. From prior or new admissions, out of all those admissions, 100 were brand new. And from the city's admissions, Alton was our highest. We had 40 youth from there. Collinsville, we had 11. Edwardsville, we had 21. Granite City, we had 31. Wood River we had 11, and from St. Louis we actually had 10 kids. That was our highest.
Yeah.
And you also have a sheet I passed out, or Liz passed out. It goes over all the offenses that we detained for. And what really strikes me as high is our domestic battery. We had 30 admissions for domestic battery last year. And some of those, we did get other calls for domestic battery, but they were able to be placed in settings outside the home or wherever the incident occurred. So that kind of tells you that things are not really good at home with some of these youth that we're dealing with.
Do you feel there's anything else that can be done to help these kids? I mean, they are kids.
Well, like we were talking about last week, Mike, you have to change your way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we have them for such a short time, and by the time we get them, that's very difficult to do, and then you're putting them back into the home where they came from. So you have to change their way of thinking, plus the parents'
thinking,
and it's difficult.
So it's just a terrible cycle that these kids get into, and yeah, it's horrible. Okay. Any questions? You went over by 7 seconds. So you lose 7 seconds next meeting, just to let you know. Ask Chief Judge how that works. Okay. Probation.
Processing those cases through. Our biggest problem right now is COVID. I have 12 staff out with COVID. We have 5 at the detention home, which is really bad because I don't know how many more staff out there we can lose and continue our operations like we need to. So that's.
Is the COVID regulations, are they, I mean, I keep reading about it and hearing it, is it down, once they've been tested and they become positive, is it down to 5 days, then they can come back to work?
We're still following the health department guidelines.
Well, we are conjugal setting in detention, so that's different.
Okay.
For the jail and detention, they said those are conjugal settings, so the quarantine is a little bit longer.
Okay.
But for probation, it is, we are following the new guidelines.
Okay. Okay.
We've still only had one youth that has tested positive in the last 2 years.
That's impressive. Yeah.
I would like to give a lot of credit to Tony Cronin and the advice she's given us. And we've mm-hmm. followed that to the letter. And with our nurse, she's been fantastic. So.
And this is coming off of your time next month, by the way. The extra 15 seconds you just spent. I'm sorry, people. As bad as stuff is, we got to have some fun once in a while. So, any questions? Okay, we are on to the public defender.
Good morning, everyone. In light of the seriousness of some of the topics we're discussing and time constraints, I'm going to really condense what I was going to update you with. We're really busy, like Jackie said, and COVID's making it way harder. But so far, we've managed to stay productive. We're keeping the wheels of justice turning. It is becoming a lot more difficult now with the jail. We've got quarantine blocks. Today we're going to have to split court between TV court and in-person. We're supposed to have 25 prisoners coming over at 9 o'clock, but we can only bring over 10 because the other is in quarantine. But the good news is I think everybody's really working together, all parts. We've come up with a plan, and we're trying to keep the wheels of justice turning amid this crisis. So, of course, I'm open to any questions anytime.
Yeah, thank you. Any questions for public defender?
Just out of curiosity, how's the other public defender helping you? The assistants?
We have filled 2 of our positions,
okay.
So that is good news. Getting up to closer to being full staff. Thank you.
Good. Any other questions? Okay. Sheriff, Major Connor.
Good
I need more than 3 minutes.
Oh, gosh. Somebody get a timer out for this guy.
I'll be as quick as I can. First, on the purchase, 12 cameras that are going in the jail to take care of some blind spots that we have that's coming out of a capital outlay project.
Okay.
Any questions on that? Okay, COVID in the jail is there. I have Captain Tharp here if you have any questions. Last count, we had over 4 blocks that are in quarantine. Our staff are mitigating as much as they can, but it's quite rampant back there. If anybody has any questions about COVID.
How many would you say of your
4 cell blocks? Is that is that the same number, Captain?
It is.
There it is.
Okay. Wow.
And just so you know, those blocks can hold up to 32 people. I'm not saying that all we have 32.
Oh, I was not thinking of blocks that way. So, yeah, that's could be 100 and something people in there.
That are in quarantine.
Yeah, okay.
The next, we just to bring you up to speed, we do have some serious medical issues back in the jail. We have a homicide suspect that was shot that was in the hospital for several weeks. He's now in our jail. We have another homicide suspect that's on dialysis that's refusing treatment. So we're dealing with that. And then we have another one that there may be a partial amputation due to some serious issues. And I just bring that light because once they're in our facility, we're responsible for their medical. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there'll be some medical costs associated with that as we progress through this. No questions on that? The state of Illinois, as we are talking about them, I can tell you another thing to make you very happy about them. The Illinois Department of Corrections notified the Sheriff's Association about a week before a deadline to sign off on a $35 per inmate that was housed at the county jails statewide in lieu of being transferred to the Illinois Department of Corrections. This went back from when COVID started, and the governor put a moratorium against any inmates coming into the jail or the prison. And then it became a situation where they're sitting for months after they've been sentenced. Our cost is over $80 per inmate, but the take it or leave it offer with Mr. Hansen was there during some of that conversation. It was about a week notice, wasn't it, that you had to look at the offer and then sign off on it?
It was not a release of claims in the future for reimbursement, but it was essentially you have 1 week. If you do not take it during this week, you will receive none of these monies that came out of the Federal CARES Act. And
then to top it off,
bite at that apple for recovery.
Right. And to make it even, well, I'll let you interpret this. There's a $25 million cap for the state for every inmate. At the time of the phone call, follow-up phone call, Cook County was sitting on 500 inmates that should be in Department of Corrections. So if you take that $35 per inmate for every inmate in the state of Illinois and you have a $25 million cap, that's going to cut any award drastically. We submitted a bill. We signed off on. It's in the upper $500,000. I don't have the figures in front of me, but it's shy of $600,000 is what the $35 per day equated to up until the cutoff date of like August 16th. I think is what they gave.
I'm sorry. You should probably also capture that. Your office was required to submit some rather detailed
yes.
records in regards to prisoners that have been kept since the beginning of COVID, which thankfully
yes.
your office had.
Yes.
There are offices around the county that did not have that advantage and were...
Many were not prepared for this.
...to being under the gun of a one-week take-it-or-leave-it approach.
Right. Yeah, many were not prepared... We weren't prepared for the last minute, but we were prepared to give them some data that they needed. So we're still waiting to hear what portion.
So you had a week to get all this information ready, and since you're not doing anything else, you don't have anything else to do. I mean,
not only a week, but it also a week to contact our legal to see if this document needs to be changed. They contacted, there were many sheriffs on the call that had no idea what they were even talking about. They weren't even properly notified.
And this is all from our legislators.
I would put it
on them.
On them, that's, yeah. Just, it's coming from the Illinois Department of Correction, which is taking orders
yes.
from the governor's office.
Seen a pattern.
Any questions on that? Okay, last I'd like to address Mr. Patton's comments. I did have a discussion with him after this incident, and we apologize that it did take a long time to respond. And we had a good conversation where I looked at the calls back whenever this happened, and there were some in-progress crimes going on, which did cause a delay. And to give you an example, this morning on my way in, I heard officers were responding to a disturbance, and then at the same time, they had a subject that was hallucinating with weapons at a different location. So they had to divert people from different locations to handle these in-progress crimes, and that's what happened this night. One of the questions the dispatcher would ask is the perpetrator on the scene right now? No. So that then gets put back a little bit while we're handling in-person. It was the stars aligned where this one took more than normal because of the type of calls that were being answered. That took a lot of follow-up, and eventually we did make it. And we learned, I believe, that some of the credit cards were being used. Some of them were being used before the call even came in, that they hit really quick.
Yeah.
And he's right. In a perfect world, it would be great to be able to contact the whole area. We got these guys in this vehicle that's committing crimes, but sometimes the way police work is, there's a lag in the time that you can actually get there, decide what information is important, and get that out to the proper people, especially when you don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
But I did speak with Mr. Patton, and we do our best. You know, our manpower, we have six is a minimum that we have on the street at any given time, and two of those are in Godfrey at any given time. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it is difficult to get to all the calls immediately, but we do the best that we can in keeping everybody as safe as we can.
And the two that are in Godfrey pays for those officers,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody to think that Godfrey was getting some great deal, and that's where that we actually pay for everything. That then we finally figured out the cost of everything for
right.
each officer, and that's what we pay. So,
and also let you know that if there is like a situation this morning, we rely on other departments to triage that call
mm-hmm.
if it's an in progress and we're delayed. I heard the other day a call, and the officer said my ETA is 38 minutes running lights and siren. I mean, you may go from assisting Venice to Highland. So sometimes those calls take a long time to get to, even if you're running code.
Yeah.
So we do rely on the surrounding agencies to help triage before we can get there. And then we do the same thing for them. We'll get a call from Edwardsville or Granite or Highland. Hey, you know, do you have someone in the area? We can't get to this call right now. And we'll send a deputy by to triage and until the proper police agency can respond.
So basically, it was the perfect storm. Use a terrible analogy.
For that night,
it was a perfect storm, and that's what happened.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree.
Our numbers, I guess that's the main thing I'm here for. Our numbers, currently, this morning we had 289 inmates. And if you look at the chart, on the 15th of December, we had 299. That was the day that the Illinois Department of Corrections took several inmates. So the next day, we're down to 268. Well, those numbers are already back up to, as of this morning, 23 inmates that are sentenced to the Department of Corrections that are still sitting in our jail that should be elsewhere.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate the emails that are sent out daily. They do it. That's really information that we need. And I know this, when we're on the first of the month, this is not easy for the information to get to us. And I just want to compliment your office, because even when it's on January or February 1st, you're very good at getting us this information right away, and I know that's not easy, so we appreciate
that. Comes from the jail staff. They do a fantastic job.
Some of them. Any questions for Major Connor? Okay. State's attorney, who's already spoke for a little while, so you're down to 223 seconds.
Thank you. I'll keep it abbreviated in spite of your interruptions. We're working diligently, and as I think you're all aware, we were very delighted to see Andrew Carruthers take the bench, our former chief of civil, and in the interim, if you have any civil issues, please contact Tom and myself. So.
Very good, especially for an attorney. Thank you. Pipe down. You're not invited to the next meeting. Okay, so any questions for the state's attorney? Okay, let's go over the bills. Have you had a chance to read the bills and the purchase request? So we'll put those together if that's okay. Can I move by
That's
Liz?
Second.
Second by Mike. Any further discussion? Gussie?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
And Mike? Okay, that passes. And then the resolution. any discussion? Liz, you're up.
So moved.
Second by Gussie. Any further discussion? Do I need to do a roll call or just...
You're spending money.
Yeah, okay. Gussie?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
And Mike?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. do we have any old business? Any new business? I will say this. I posted that Mr. McCray got this job on a Facebook page that has been taken over, and I immediately was, my post was deleted and I was blocked from this group. And, you know, I know a lot of people complain about Facebook, but when it's our own people that are blocking us and kicking us out, unfortunately they're not here taping us today. So it's a sad day when people can do that on Facebook to somebody, just because I thought it was great news that Andy got the position. He deserved it. It's been a long time coming for that man. And if anybody tells him that I'm complimenting you, you are not welcome to our next meeting, okay?
You said McRae. I think you meant Mr. Carruthers.
Mr. Carruthers, yeah. I'd never compliment McRae. So, yes, Mr. Carruthers. He's a wonderful choice, Chief Judge, and he will do a great job, and we really appreciate that. So, any other new business? And I'm sorry this took so long.
I do want to finish up by saying thank you to Chief Judge for being forthright and transparent about what his comments were, and Deb Detmers and Tom McRae for their bringing this to the forefront and letting us know the truth.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
I was just going to say, normally we're a lot quicker, but it's Hal and Deb's fault. They brought stuff to us that we actually had to discuss. So, but no, thank you for the serious discussion. I know that's not easy. It's not pleasant, but everybody, you kept level heads, and we appreciate it. So, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Hey, pleasure to meet you, sir.
No, real pleasure.
How was your holiday?